Namo Myo Holden Gekyo. Thank you for joining me as we continue this Gosho on the entity of Myo Holden Gekyo, otherwise known as the entity of the wonderful and difficult to understand law. A short preface for this one to those who may have been exposed to the proliferation of teachings from a school that wants to claim for itself the unique knowledge that Nichiren, that the Bodhisattva Nichiren was actually the original Buddha. It's quite a effort in verbal gymnastics or grammatical gymnastics to create that fallacy, but nevertheless it has been spread far and wide, and though Nichiren is certainly a bodhisattva, some would say equivalent to one of the four great bodhisattvas that are the leaders of the bodhisattvas of the earth, which is a reference to us, and he certainly is that, Nichiren. To claim that he predates and somehow was responsible for the original Buddhahood, and that he was the original somehow predating Shakyamuni, that is magical thinking. That's just nonsense. As Shakyamuni himself said, that Buddha has been around throughout timelessness, long before his birth and his achievement of enlightenment and the Buddha. But he himself, and this is one of the great revelation of the Lotus Sutra in the lifespan chapter of the Tathagata, is that there's a distinction made by Shakyamuni that I am a human who have been enlightened in my human form to the Buddha-ness, the Buddha nature, but this is something all of us can do. So there is no predating or pre-birthing or original. The Buddha-ness has been there since the life force of everything that exists has been there. It is part and parcel of it. That's why each of us has access to it within our own lives. So it's a given, and it is specifically the teachings of Buddhism, Shakyamuni's Buddhism, right? So for some cult to say that Nichiren is actually predates all of that, it's just that's voodoo. It's just not real, okay? It's not even a skillful device. It's misleading and it's poisoning true Buddhism, okay? So I bring that up because the next question in our Gosho is, in our present age, in Nichiren's time, the period of the latter day of the law, who has obtained the lotus of the entity? Who has attained the lotus of the entity, full, perfect enlightenment? Who? It's quite a setup, isn't it? And this is Nichiren asking it, so he knows that this question is in the minds of his students and others, not only his supporters, but those who would look to invalidate him. So he brings it up. He's a pretty courageous guy. So here's Nichiren's answer. Observing the situation in the world today, we have to say that although there are many people who are destined to fall into the great Avicii hell, there is no one who has obtained the lotus of the Buddha. He's not saying he's not afraid to say what position he holds in the lineage of Buddhism, right? We've heard him say it several times. I, Nichiren, this. He will hear again. But he never says, I, Nichiren, have achieved the lotus of the entity. He's never said that he's fully realized his Buddha nature. So this is critical for our modern understanding of Buddhism, is that it's not something you snap your fingers and do. No one's spending more time trying to correct and spread the correct teachings of the Lotus Sutra than Nichiren was in his day, right? Yet he's firmly rooted in being a regular guy who he will accept in some obtuse ways that he's doing the work of Bodhisattva Jogyo, that he's one of the four leaders, but he doesn't flaunt that or state it explicitly. He's simply saying he's doing the work. And this is the practice of Buddhism. It's the work, because what is Buddhism ultimately about? Living this life well, living this life with honor, dignity, to the best potential that we can muster or find through our attempt at enlightenment. If we achieve it, amazing. But it's not about the goal in itself. It's about, Aristotle would have said, you need to set a goal in life. If you want to be happy, you need to set a goal in life that is larger than anything you can expect to realize. That's Aristotle. That's Western philosophy, right? His reasoning, Aristotle's reasoning, was that if the goal is unattainable, but it is your goal, then every act, every breath, every thought that you make will be in relation to that goal, or should be in relation to that goal. And that very thing will command your life in such a way that everything you do will create joy, happiness in you, because you will be working and accomplishing bit by bit, step by step, working toward that goal. He also said if you attain that goal, then you need to set another one, a further one. And if at some point while you're working toward that goal, you're disillusioned or simply can't proceed because of the step that's required to move toward that goal is something that you just have decided you can't do, then you must reevaluate your goal, keep the goal, but reevaluate your path toward it and make adjustments. That's Aristotle. That's Aristotle's answer on how you live a happy life. So, Buddhism, though it dissects that much, much more deeply, is basically doing the same thing. It's saying, if you want to have a fulfilling, well-lived life, then work toward your enlightenment. Work toward your Buddha wisdom. Because it's not necessarily the Buddha-ness that answers all your problems. It's your path, your insights, your growth as a human being. When you work toward that enlightenment. Do you see? Nichiren continues. The reason is that people put their resolute mind and conviction in the expedient means of the provisional teachings that cannot lead to the enlightenment and slander the lotus of the truth, the entity of the Lotus Sutra. And how do they slander? I've talked about this before. It's slander because they're shooting at a sullied or misled or incomplete or divergent goal that's not attainable because it's not the methodologies, the things they do day to day don't lead them to that goal. It's a fallacy. That's why it's slander, because the goal they think they're shooting for is invalidated by the method that they're using to achieve it. It's like saying, I want a brand new car. Now, right away when I say that, the goal should elicit a methodology that enables you to get a better job, earn more money, save more money, and, you know, all sorts of things in order to work toward achieving the goal of having a new car. But if you're following improper teachings that don't lead to a new car but say that they lead to a new car, you may be going out and stealing, or either stealing money or stealing things, or dealing in life unaffirming activities like dealing drugs or so on and so forth. And though that drug dealer may justify to him or herself that this is increasing the pot so she can get a new car, and she may in fact achieve getting a new car, she won't have achieved a new car from life affirming acts. And so her life condition will be that of somebody who's achieved something they haven't, that isn't proper, that isn't appropriate. So whatever it looks like they may have achieved is in fact not what they have achieved because of their life condition. See, if you work diligently and do things that are life affirming and respectful, and again, the major thing is dignity. Do you have dignity and offer dignity in your path toward the new car? When you get that new car, you can sit in it and feel golden, feel just beam, exude accomplishment, confidence, and go, wow. And it's not about the car, is it? It's about, I've trained my life. I've taken control of my urges and thoughts and desires, and I've aligned my life in order to achieve a goal. That's spectacular. That's empowering. That's an amazing sense of being, right? So it's not about the car. And people will compliment you on the car and everything, and you go, yeah, it's just a car, but you will feel gratitude and gratification for having one who has legitimately achieved this goal. Whereas, I keep using the drug dealer, but why not? The drug dealer who achieves getting a new car can't wait to drive it around and show everyone how important she is. That is about the car. And her life condition, his life condition, is crap. Because they know. They know they don't deserve it. They've taken it. And they've done so at the diminishment and the stripping of dignity of others and themselves. They just don't look at that. So how valuable is that to a life well lived? Right? So this is the point Nietzsche makes all the time in Shakyamuni, all of Buddhism, is that the goal has to align in you resolve, conviction, adherence, right? It's a lofty goal. It's a goal that changes your life condition, the 10 worlds, the worlds of hell, hunger, animality, so on and so forth. You can't be traveling in those lower worlds and expect Buddhahood. Although Buddhahood coexists with them, it is still a goal. And that goal will pull you out of those life conditions. Right? So the path, it's all about the path, the Buddha wisdom that you develop. So Nichiren continues, the Buddha states, Quote, if a person fails to have resolute mind and conviction, but instead slanders this sutra, immediately he will destroy all the seeds for becoming a Buddha in this world. When his life comes to an end, he will enter the Avicii hell. So in other words, when your dignity is lost, you experience mentally hell, no matter what your wealth or station in life. You don't feel exalted. You've wasted your life. You've spent your life making negative causes, and that's what you are remembered for, whether by others or yourself, more importantly. Tendai comments on this as follows. Nichiren goes on, quote, this Lotus Sutra opens the seeds of Buddhahood inherent in the beings of each of the six paths, but if one slanders the sutra, then the seeds will be destroyed. Now here we go. I, Nichiren, would like to say this. The Lotus Sutra is linked to the seeds of Buddhahood inherent in the beings of each of the 10 worlds, but if one slanders this sutra, then it means that one is destroying the seeds of Buddhahood in the beings of each of the 10 worlds, because they're intermixed, right? Interdependent. Such a person is centrally bound to fall into the hell of incessant suffering. When might he manage to get out of hell again? But those who follow the teachings of Nichiren honestly discard the mistaken doctrines of the provisional teachings and the incorrect theories of the mistaken teachers, and with all sincerity put their resolute mind and conviction in the correct teaching and the correct doctrines of the correct teacher. Accordingly, they are able to gain the lotus of the entity and to manifest the wonderful and difficult to understand principle of the entity of the land of eternally tranquil light. This is because they put their resolute mind and conviction in the golden words of the Buddha indicated in the lifespan chapter of the essential teaching and chant Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Question. The great teachers such as Nanhue, Tendai, and Dengyo employed the Lotus Sutra to spread widely the perfect teaching of the one vehicle, but they did not recite Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Why is that? Does this mean that they did not know about the lotus of the entity, or that they failed to understand it? Answer. It is said that the great teacher Nanhue was an incarnation of Bodhisattva, perceiver of the world sounds, and that the great teacher Tendai was an incarnation of the Bodhisattva, medicine king. If so, then they were present on Eagle Peak when the Buddha preached the lifespan chapter of the essential teaching, and at that time they became enlightened to the lotus of the entity. But when they appeared in the world as Nanhui and Tendai, respectively, they knew it was not the right time to spread the wonderful and difficult to understand law. Therefore, for the words wonderful and difficult to understand law, they substituted the term concentration and insight, and instead engaged in the meditation on the 3,000 realms in a single moment of life, and in the practice of the threefold contemplation in a single mind. But even these great teachers recited Namu Myoho Renge Kyo as their private practice, and in their hearts they understood these words to be the truth. Thus the great teacher Nanhue, in his method of repentance through the Lotus Sutra, employs the words Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. The great teacher Tendai employs the words Namu Byodo Dai Ichijo Myoho Renge Kyo and Keishu Myoho Renge Kyo and Kimyo Myoho Renge Kyo. And the document concerning the vow taken by the great teacher Dengyo on his deathbed carries the words Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Now, why do you suppose that is? Myoho Rengekyo is the title of the teaching and each of its chapters. Myoho Rengekyo is the Sādhamma Buddharika Sutra. Myoho Rengekyo is the Lotus Sutra. Myoho Rengekyo is the teaching of the wonderful and difficult to understand teaching of the wonderful White Lotus. It's known by many names, but Myoho Rengekyo is the name that we use, that Nichiren used. It's a Japanese phonetic for the mixture of characters that make up the central part of our mandala of the Gohonzon. That's not simply kanji. It's a mixture of ancient Sanskrit with ancient Chinese and phonetically pronounced in Japanese as Myoho Rengekyo. So don't get confused that these are simply words, right? They're guides, they're benchmarks, each of them standing in for the bulk of all of the teachings of Buddhism. But as they are presented as a methodology in the Lotus, Myoho Rengekyo. So they did. Myoho Rengekyo precedes Nichiren by hundreds of years, almost, from Tendai and perhaps before him, but this is the Lotus School. It is the Myoho Rengekyo, the Lotus School. So they did. They just didn't popularize it because it was still kind of outside the reach of the bulk of the people's capacity at the time. So they, as teachers, were practicing it. And through it, they were giving the knowledge of it through their schools without labeling it so, because that was just a step too far for people. They understood that then. Question, Nichiren continues. The evidence you have presented is perfectly clear. But if these men understood the truth, as the evidence indicates that they did, then why did they not spread a knowledge of it abroad? Answer. There are two reasons. First of all, the proper time to do so had not yet arrived. Second, these men were not the persons entrusted with the task of doing so. The Lotus Sutra itself tells us this, right? It is the five characters of Myoho Rengekyo that are the great pure law that will be spread widely in the latter day of the law. And it is the great bodhisattvas who sprang from the earth in numbers equal to the dust particles of 1,000 worlds to whom this was entrusted. It says so in the Lotus. It was for this reason that those such as Nanhui, Tendai, and Dengyo, though in their hearts they clearly perceived the truth, left it to the leader and teacher of the latter day to spread it widely, while they themselves refrained from doing so. Interesting. So Nichiren wrote a cover letter in front of this document. So obviously that alone tells you that this document was meant to his inner circle of teachers to understand the teaching that the doctrines that he was putting forth about the teaching of the Lotus Sutra, Shakyamuni's teachings. So don't be confused that Nichiren invented a new kind of Buddhism or Nichiren invented a Buddhism of his own, Nichiren Buddhism. That's not it. Nichiren is one of the leaders of the bodhisattvas of the earth, and his advent as a bodhisattva was to clarify the teachings of Shakyamuni, Nagarjuna, Vasubandhu, everybody in his lineage, or not his personal lineage, but the lineage of Buddhism. So here's his cover letter. Question. Even his cover letter is in the Q&A format. The lotus of the entity of the wonderful and difficult to understand law is difficult to understand, and therefore metaphor is used to make its meaning clear. But is there any example in the sutras to support such a practice? Answer. The sutra says, quote, "They are unsoiled by worldly things like the lotus flower in the water, emerging from the earth," end quote. Here we see that the bodhisattvas of the earth are the lotus of the entity of the wonderful and difficult to understand law, and that the lotus is being used here as a simile. But I will write to you about this again at some future time. This teaching presents the ultimate principle of the entire Lotus Sutra. It is the ultimate purpose of the Thus Come One's Shakyamuni's advent, as well as the heart and core of the Lotus Sutra, which was entrusted to the great bodhisattvas who sprang up out of the earth so that they might spread it widely in the latter day of the law. Only when the ruler of our nation has shown himself to have resolute mind and conviction, may this doctrine be revealed. But until then, should it remain a secret teaching, or it should remain a secret teaching, I, Nichiren, have just completed transmitting it to you, Sarenbo. So here we see in the cover letter proof that he wrote this to his new disciple, Sarenbo, who, as we've discussed in the past, was a Tendai priest or Tendai teacher, a monk of great status, right? So, I don't know, maybe I should read the background on this one. I don't usually do. I leave the background for you guys. It's a great additional resource to learn some things about the history of Nichiren and how he teaches and references and so forth. But I find that I do so much of that as I read the Gosho in talking to you that, this is something else that can easily bog you down. I don't say don't read it. I think it's valuable information. But for me, I think it's important that you understand the teachings, the doctrine of Nichiren first. You want to be a historian and dig into it deeper, go for it. Great. But don't forget the teaching itself. Don't get hung up in all the periphery that can happen, okay? So that culminates this Gosho. The next one is on rebuking slander of the law and eradicating sins, I don't know, have to come up with a different word for that, because that has all kinds of weird Western implications, doesn't it? Negative karma. Karma, as you know, is something created through the Nidana, and the Nidana is some precipitative process that enters all life. So when we make causes, when we make actions, thoughts, words, deeds with our lives, we are influencing Nidana in either a positive or a negative way. And so we manifest positive or negative results. That is karma. So we're doing it all the time. And so karmically, we want to be on whole more toward the positive, don't we? Now, when we go toward the negative, sometimes we're not aware that we're going toward the negative until later, until we have insights, until we get bit in the butt because we did something that we then understand, I totally misled myself, right? So in the scope of Buddhist teachings, those would be considered sins. And they vary from the very small, like it sounds like I just described, indiscretions, all the way to taking a life. So there's a huge gradation in there. But all of them fall under this label of, in the translations, of sins. But they're not sins in the sense of religion and other areas that use sins to indicate the effects of the actions. In Buddhism, everything starts here. So the sin, any sin you create in Buddhism is a degradation of your potential, of yourself. Yeah, there are consequences and they can be grave at times, but ultimately it's your dignity that's been damaged. It's your value that's been damaged, and you've done that. This is why it's seen as a quote sin in Buddhism, not because of what you did to some other thing, although that is a gradation in itself because we're humans. Again, we never separate from being human to being Buddha. It's the Buddha wisdom that we're besmirching, which is the word I was looking for before. All right, I hope that makes sense to you. The comments section is for discussion on this. And if the discussion is really profound and you're having trouble with it, then we'll take it offline onto my email at tlksylvain@gmail.com, so that we keep the comments section a place, a live section, to support people's practice. And we don't want to fall down too many rabbit holes on this forum, but I want to make sure I stay with you until we figure it out. And if out what will come out of that when we go offline and discuss things is that I will see areas that I need to do more explanation on. And that's what I want to do with the walking meditations, is use that section to explore other ideas about Buddhism that are attached to all of this, but they're not Nichiren's writings. They're not the Gosho. They're questions about Buddhism in general that we need deeper dives in. So you'll notice I have those kinds of videos. They're not tied to specific Goshos or words of Bodhisattvas. All right, that's my mission with you. So, and that's our Sangha. Let's do that together. But it starts with comments in these videos, right? All right, with that, I'm actually going to go quiet. Thank you for your support. All of you that do, that send donations, that go on Patreon, that help me out, you guys are co-producers of this podcast, these videos. Don't forget, speaking of podcasts, that I extrapolate the audio from all of these videos. And I make them available through podcasts, available everywhere that I can find. So, the Buddhahood podcast, again, is what you search for in your particular podcast, whether it's iHeartRadio or Podbean or whatever, all of them, Spotify. And I can't wait till we start the next Go Show. It'll be fun. See you then. Thank you. Bye-bye. Namo myoho renge kyo.